So the only thing that's pending is that Satan must personify himself, and then when he does, he'll be the man with the 666. And then all of the other numbers, or computerized numbers as to the numerical system of the world, will automatically be under his control and his regime. At that time, then it will be detrimental to be under a number, because he will be the man with vicarious filia dei, which means vicar of Christ. Numerical order means, as to numerical evaluation, 666. And he wears this, and he has this, and in confiscating and taking over the world, then everyone that's under the system, the very system that you're under right now, be the same system. It's already Satan's system. And the same system will be under the regime of the Antichrist, because Satan will rule and reign in the human body. And this is when he will force the Isha as to his personalized control, as to a personification from him to you, or you to him, to make you one, his membership with him, under this great, great system of his, which is called the system of Satan, or it is referred to as the mystery of iniquity. Like there's a mystery of godliness, there's a mystery of iniquity. And the mysteries must be finished at the sounding of the last trump, which means an expose, so that Satan cannot hide as a mysterious thing anymore, but he will be made manifest, and God will not hide as a mysterious thing anymore. He will be manifest even in the human body of Jesus. And there will be a great contest in the earth between these two great figures. It's kind of typical of what Brother Tommy Cartridge saw one time. He said that, "I saw you in a vision, Brother Pike, and you was on this mountain over here, and Satan was on this mountain over here, and there was a great valley in between you," and said that you were fighting with one another. And I don't remember how he explained it, whether we were hurling like thunderbolts at one another or whatever, but we were fiercely engaged in battle. And he said, and the beautiful part was, Brother Pike, said you won out, said you was winning out over. So we represented the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're members in particular, and while we're here, we're in his stead, beseeching the world to be reconciled unto God, which means it's not us living but Christ. So whatever you do in battle out there against Lucifer, then that means that is Jesus working in you, the Bible said, to fulfill that of his own desire and of his own glory. So then the number is getting close at hand. I'm glad to have my little part in the Lord. Glad to have given years to God. And hasn't been exactly what I would like to do, but it has been somewhat. A lot of times I'm kind of reluctant as to say anything to anybody about visions or dreams or whatever, because we have a lot of people that are very touchy, and they're waiting just to hear one little thing, and just that quick, you know, they're ready to leave and go, either from the church or either from the campground or whatever. And makes me a little reluctant, but I say them anyway, because it's needful to say it. It's like I saw the other night. I saw, high as it was, a brotherhood, or that is, I saw a number of planes in a vision. I was praying some early in the morning, and I saw these planes lined up as maybe four or five planes. Apparently, they belonged to the brotherhood, and I saw one of them all of a sudden just slip out real quick like that. And when I looked, it was a plane that wasn't in good shape. Whoever owned it was not taking care of it, and of course, I saw who owned it. I saw who was in it. And they were fixing to just take off in the plane. It wasn't in no condition to fly. It had not been kept up properly. But anyway, they owned the plane. I couldn't see anything. And they just slipped out of their plane and was fixing to take off. The astounding thing was that I didn't see them back up down the field or turn around or go anywhere to get a running start. Whereas a pilot or anybody that knows anything about flying knows you don't jump in a plane and just run right out and it's sputting and going on as this one was and just take off in it. But this individual seemed to be void of wisdom and understanding, and I was not following leadership or whatever, just doing things on impulse and whenever they took a notion. And so they just went right out to do their thing, and when they went out, they didn't get a running start in the plane, and I heard the plane sputtering, and it looked rough, and I thought, My, this is not wise, you know, but the fellow just took the plane and just like you'd jump over a road. There was a road out here this way and a place he wanted to get to over here. And here was the plane parked over here among the brethren, or I say among the brethren, among the planes. And he just pulled right out and he jerked the nose of that thing up and he jumped the road with it. I don't know how he ever done it, but he did. He jumped the road, and when he jumped the road, I thought, my land, will that fellow actually try to take that plane off? You know, he jumped the road and he made it, but will he actually try to take that plane off and away he'll go? And it looked like that was what he was fixing to do when the vision went away. So it pays to follow leadership, no matter what you're doing. It pays to follow leadership. It pays to keep up with your life, to live the right kind of overcoming life and make sure that everything is well in order as to your thinking, as to your living, as to your doing, as to your program, as to your plan, and have a little bit of understanding into having your mind program that you need to get a running start, as we say, in a plane before you go to take off. If you're in a helicopter, you're all right. You just spin the prop and you know you go straight up. But this wasn't a helicopter. Well, we just thought we'd pass it on to you for whatever it's worth. We always see in visions or different ones. And we just try to share with you a little. I want to talk to you just a few minutes from over in the book of St. Luke, chapter 13. And give you just a little bit of exhortation. Won't keep you long. I know you're tired and I'm tired too. Appreciate Jimmy coming and taking over the services this morning that Brother Tyler could not get here. Chapter 13. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell ye nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. For those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell ye nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he unto the dressers of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the earth, the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bound together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loose from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day. And said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work, and then therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years he be loose from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. That is, he had loosed her on the Sabbath day. Then said he, unto what is the kingdom of God like, and what whereunto shall I resemble thee? Yet it is like a grain of mustard seed which a man took and cast into his garden, and it grew and waxed a great tree, and the fowls of the air lodged in the branches of it. And again he said, whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? It's like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. And he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and has shut to the door, And you begin to stand without to knock at the door saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us, and he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know ye not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. The same day there came certain of the Pharisees, saying unto him, get thee out and depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. And he said unto him, go ye and tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. Nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. And verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me until the time come when ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. All right. Question was asked, is there few that be saved? And Jesus said, there's a straight gate that you have to enter into. And the great term straight here is like a straight jacket, but it won't fit any other way. It's like I told some of them last night. I said, would it seem reasonable that I should come here and preach that God loves everybody and that God cares for everybody and that God loves the wicked? I said, would that be fitting? I said, if that be the way that it is, then why is it that the Bible said, and the seed of the woman shall bruise the head of the seed of the serpent? I said, where then is the bruiser of the head of the serpent? And where then is the serpent? If I preach this grace and this blessing to everybody, that everybody is going to be saved, and if I preach that all men have faith, then I become a transgressor of the word, because the Bible teaches that God is angry with the wicked every day. And I constantly remind you that he said, I will pursue the wicked till they perish from off of the face of the earth. And I am continually telling you that if God is going to destroy and tear into pieces certain people, how could he love those people? How could you possibly love somebody if you was going to tear somebody into pieces? And as I said to them last night, I said, and another thing that we've got to remember is that though God is love, that doesn't mean that he has to love the wicked. If I, to be a loving person, must allow a rattlesnake as a serpent to be loose in my living room or bedroom to my children, to my wife, or among my friends, and I refuse to kill it because I am love, then I am all mixed up as a minister. I am all mixed up as to the word of God. You don't need to be listening to me because I don't understand if that be the case. Is God then the author of confusion? Has God sowed his fields down with wheat and then come along and then sowed it down with tares? Wouldn't that be confusion? Would God spare the tares and not burn them up and gather them into the garners or into the barn with the wheat? Would he gather the tares in? Someone would say, but Brother Pike, isn't the rain on the just and the unjust? It really is. And therefore, the blessings being upon the just and the unjust, or the rain upon the just and the unjust. That means the water's coming down on the tare, the sunshine is coming down on the tare, and the tare needs the water for life and the sunshine for life, just like the wheat does. And so then God is good, and God is love, and his love is to everybody. His love is to everybody in that he has sacrificed his sons to take away the sins of the world. And in sacrificing Jesus, it has brought forth the rain. It has brought forth the goodness of God. It has brought forth the love of God, even upon the tare. Has God then done that so that the tare can have water? Has God then done that so that his love can be to the tare? Absolutely not. Has he done that so that his love can be to the wicked? Absolutely not. He didn't do that. Am I going to spare a rattlesnake so that my love can be to the snake and give it time to bite my children? Is God going to spare the terror and bless them and love them while they slit people's throats and while they beat people's brains out and while they ravish the little children? You think God's going to sit back and a little lady, a little girl being ravished, just a little 8 or 9 year old girl, and some brute beast of a dog out here is ravishing the little girl, and God sits back and says, my love be unto you. Do you think God's going to do that? No, that's not the way it is. We saw what God thought about it when he placed the sword in David's hand, and David said, I've run through a troop and leaped over a wall, and he dipped his sword in the blood. And we see what God thinks about it when he said, cursed is every man that holdeth back his sword from blood. And we see what God thinks about it the same yesterday, today, and forever when Moses comes down off of the mountain and he says to the men to take your sword and every man kill his fellow. And we see as it was when Abraham went out and slew the enemy and on down through the years, as Israel destroyed nation after nation, and even today, as the Bible teaches, every nation that forgets God, God will turn him into hell. And the Bible said, you that forget God, beware lest I tear you into pieces. And we see what God thinks of the wicked. So then what does God think of the wicked? He said, I'm angry with the wicked every day. I'm on the trail of the serpent. I'm going to bruise his head. And he says to me, son, you go forth, you take my word, just like that little stone out of that stream that David got that's so perfect, and you put it into the little sling of faith, and you take your faith and the faith of Christ Jesus, drop that word into it, and you bruise the head of that old challenging giant of opposition that's causing my people trouble, that's got them down in the valley when they can't get to the mountaintop of the grace of God. He says, you go forth and you destroy them. As it was with Samson, here's a jawbone of an ass, and the Bible said with the jawbone of an ass, he slew 1,000 men. So then we realize that God is angry with the wicked every day, and he has sent me to dip my sword in the blood of the wicked, and that I'm God's executor as to judgment, to execute judgment upon them that do evil. I am God's revenger to bring the fire of God down upon those that do wickedly, as it was in the days of Elijah. So just before the great and mighty noble day of the Lord coming, Moses and Elijah will come back, and they will call fire down from heaven upon their enemies to scorch their enemies from heaven. The Bible teaches that even the enemy will be scorched before being burned in the lake of fire. And we find that the ozone right now has been eaten up by these things as to chemical reactions that's in the earth, and now the sun is becoming more fierce, and the heat is heating up to that sevenfold thing as to bring the light to us and the heat to them. Remember, that which is white, that which is clear, will reflect light back. It will reflect light back to the sun. And no matter how close the sun gets, it'll still reflect the light back and will not absorb the indignation of the fury of the fire of the sun. But that which is dark will absorb, and it'll take the glory, as we say, of the light to itself. And it will highlight itself as lifting up itself, as being somebody or thinking itself to be somebody. And it will absorb the wrath and heat and indignation of the sun. I've stood between a dark car and a white car, and I've laid my hands on both. And when the sun was in its full intent, I would stand there, and as I had my hands on the light and one on the dark, this one would begin to burn on the dark, and I couldn't stand it. I'd have to take it off. But the light, I could leave my hand there, it would warm up, but it was reflecting the glory back to the sun. See, and in the world today, those that are walking in darkness, those are that intellectual ignorance, they are not reflecting the glory back to God. They're absorbing it, and as it was in the days when Nebuchadnezzar walked in his kingdom and looked around and said, look at this as to what my hand hath gotten me. Look at all these great things that I've done. That is to say, and they say, and I'm the man of the hour. Look at me. I'm the president. I'm the celebrity. I'm the one that should be admired. I'm the voice. You know, look at me, look at mine apparel, look how beautifully I can dress. You know, as it was in the days of Herod when he went out and he stood in the sunlight, hit this beautiful apparel that he had. It struck it and he spoke to the people and his voice sounded like that as of God. And as the light struck him according to history, he turned and the rays went out like that and they screamed out of God and it upset God because he didn't give God the glory. And the Bible said immediately God smote him and the worms eat him up. See, so then God will not give his glory to another. You as Jesus radiating with his glory as when he stood on the Mount of Transfiguration with Moses and Elijah. See, this glory must be radiated back to God. We must give him the glory. We must give him the glory. God wants us to give him the glory because we're living in that moment when the mark of the beast is about to come and God is going to hate the image. He's going to hate them that are in corruption. He's going to hate them that have done evil. And that bastard child image as in Adam all die. And he said in the morning is to the coming of the light, is to the dawning of the day star within your heart. He said I'll despise that image. So then he's looking for that new birth. As I said earlier, you got to have that new birth. If you don't have the new birth, then are ye a bastard child? And as Jesus said, straight is this gate. Straight and narrow is the way. And he said, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many shall try and not be able to get into this gate. And as I said again, though God is love, though God cares for you, God isn't going to allow for your wicked doings. Though he died to save you while you were yet in your sin, as he saw in Jacob before the children had done any good or evil, he made his choice. See, because he saw the heart that would come in the future as to Jacob and Esau, and that Esau would marry into the heathen tribe and Jacob would go after the right side of people. That is as it was with Ruth. Orpah went back and Ruth went right on with Naomi into the land of the kindred. In that she went into the land of the kindred, she said, and thy people shall be my people. And wherever you live, there I'll dwell. And wherever you die, there I will die. See, and that's the way it is with us. We have to get on the right side. We have to make our choice. We have to differentiate. We have to come out of the world, be a separate people, to touch not the unclean thing. Don't go out to enjoy sin for a season. The Bible said, and Moses chose to suffer the affliction with the righteous rather than enjoy sin for a season. See, you can enjoy sin for a season. You can frolic. You can laugh it off. You can go there. You can watch your television shows. You can be a celebrity. You can have money. You can lay back money for convenience. You can make everything polished. You can say, well, I'm laying this back for my children's education and let people starve to death. That's one of the most stupid things, if you'll pardon my remarks, that I ever heard in my life. Men laying back money to educate their children so they can have a college education. It takes a stupid mind to do that. A little baby starving to death over here and a widow over here that doesn't have any food. People around the world starving to death. And somebody with those kind of thinking. That's what education does for you. That's what diplomacy does for you. That's what the mind of the beast does for you. You know, it is a pitiful thing. I understand you providing for your little ones to eat. I understand you providing homes and cars and whatever's needed for them. Or I understand you investing in the work of God and doing anything you can to win a soul. Hating the garments that's spotted with iniquity. But I cannot understand the stupidity of one providing money and laying up money for extra convenience as to their own convenience. When the Bible, even God Almighty that made you, said to make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. I cannot understand that. I cannot understand this Spurgeon. You know, I can't understand that. Some people, they'll do that anyway. They're going to be to the excess. They're going to be gullible. They're going to be drinking and eating. And they're going to be the gullible sort. And they're going to buy to convenience. And they're not going to look at it as the Bible said, having food and raiment, be there with content. For you brought nothing into the world, it's for sure you're going to take nothing out of the world. But when people start hoarding and people start laying up and people start laying aside and people start buying extra this and extra this and double that and having a lot of things laid away, that I don't understand when people are starving to death. Do you believe that God will let a man stand before him in the day of judgment, or a woman stand before him in the day of judgment and have all these things? Not as what's necessitated to life, but all of these things and stand before God, and God looks over here and sees the teeming millions that starve to death and little babies and mothers, and they stand there before God having put that up for some kind of silly diplomacy of life which the children don't need to begin with. You've heard of educated fools. Anybody that leaves God to go after education is an educated fool. Let's give the Lord a hand. It takes a fool to do that. It takes a fool to deny the word of the Lord and put something into practice as in the... Somebody said, Brother Pike, are you condoning ignorance? I certainly do not. That's why I preach the gospel. The Bible said all of them that are of Christ are of a good understanding. And I tell you again, all of them that came out of Egypt was not learned in all the ways of the Egyptians as Moses was. And they came out and they had no schools and they had no colleges, but all of them were of a good understanding. They did not have the skills that they needed as to livelihood. They'd only work down there making brick and straw. But nevertheless, God built a great, mighty empire, a commonwealth in the wilderness between the time that they crossed the Red Sea and the time that they crossed the River Jordan. Gave them great leaders and then told them when they went into Canaan, and this shall be that which God has given unto you that shall be your protection. Your great wisdom and understanding, they'll be afraid of you. All of those college scholars, all of those people of that day, all of the science, falsely so-called, them of Babylon that spent their time, you know, with those kind of things of trying to find out what everything was about instead of seeking God. All of those, they were nothing but little babes. Little babes in the presence of these great and mighty people. Someone would say, but just think. You know, somebody like Einstein would school you. I know, but just think. Somebody like Jesus Christ schooled me. God Almighty. They said, how does he know letters never having learned? So then the Bible said, they shall all be taught of God. Now, so we choose between Einstein and God. Let's give the Lord another hand. All right, who had the brilliance? And the angel said unto Daniel, and I've come, Daniel, that I might give you skill. So then we lean not to our own understanding as to intellectual diplomacies of life to steal and rob from them that are out yonder to give ourselves into the hand of Lucifer that he might use us the more for his kingdom. But what we do, we turn away from the old tree of reasoning and knowledge and we bring every thought into subjection to the obedience of Jesus Christ to manifest the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who being made in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And through this mind you become a God. Through the mind of the diplomacy of the college you become a devil, the old tree of knowledge. And you love the things of the world and you give your life to fame and popularity and prestige and all these things. And the worms eat you up in that people of the world is nothing more than worms in your first birth. It's like the worm before the butterfly comes out of the cocoon as to the metamorphosis. And so then you line up with the worm and you become part of the worm and the kingdom of the worm and you work together. And you become the slave of the worm as to tribute, a slave to tribute. And the worms literally eat you up with their old intellectual reasoning as to flattery. Being part of the world and the world loveth its own. So the Bible said, who is this that eat my people like bread? So then come out from among them, be a separate people, come out of the world, touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you, saith the Lord. So we are following the Lord. We are becoming one with the Lord. We are bruising the intellectual head of that old indoctrination. We are the bruises of the head of the serpent, a generation of vipers of intellectual reasoning. We are children of God. We bruise the serpent's head and we speak the blessings of God to bring the kingdom of God to you. And the wonderful blessings of God is to glad tidings of great joy to the lovely children of God. So then is God love. God is love. Then does God have to turn loose a viper in our midst? Hath God turned to loose the viper in our midst? Hath God sowed tares among his wheat that the roots might choke the life thereof? No. Does God have to turn serpents loose and give blessings to serpents and make allowance for the intellectual deadness of the bite and the poison of the old serpent? Does he have to do that to be loved? He's altogether good. Even the rain cometh upon the just and the unjust, giving his children time as to the elect, which is lost among the tares, giving them a chance to come to their diplomacy of life and their understanding in life, their mind of Christ, to enjoy the inheritance and to take from Satan through Christ what has been lost through Adam to Satan. And restore back all things, him coming to seek and to save that which is lost. So then we find out that God is good, and he's only giving the blood on the seat of atonement just till the church can get ready. And the very day that Lot, as to representing the church, went out of Sodom and Gomorrah, fire came. That's what he thought about the wicked. And the very day that the church goes out, God's going to rain fire and brimstone down on the head of the wicked, or that is, the nations of the world are going to crumble, Revelation 8. And hail, fire and blood mingled together came down upon their heads just as quick as the blood came off. That's what God thinks about the wicked. That's how much God loves the wicked. That's how much he wants his blood to atone for the wicked. No mother or dad that loved their little children would put a devil in their midst and tolerate it to honor the devil, to let him live, saying, I'm love, I can't hurt you. Knowing the devil was going to split the throat of their little ones. No one in their right mind would do that, and for sure God wouldn't do it. All right, so that we have to understand our God. The last days, they that know their God shall do mighty exploits, for they shall understand him and know what direction to go. If I thought God sent all of this sickness and all these problems and all these devils and all these demons and all these terrors, I quit, because I wouldn't have a chance. Had to be a state of confusion. I wouldn't know where I was going. I wouldn't know who to fight against. I'd say, Lord, please help me. And I think there he stands with that big whip. Boy, he says, toe the line or I'll take your head off. I say, but Lord, I'm doing all I can. But he says, that ain't good enough. I want you to be perfect. Toe the line or I'll take your head off. And the only way you're going to be saved is to toe the line. I don't believe that. I don't believe those kind of things. That's why the Jews fell into the snare. They did with their intellectual reasoning. It was foolishness. Going about to establish the tradition of the elders, they brought the judgment of God upon them. God went away to a people that didn't know nothing about righteousness and chose himself a bride out of a heathen people to let them know it was by grace. All right, so then we say this in conclusion as to our little message and exhortation. To exhort each other the more as we see the day approaching. God is angry with the wicked every day. He'll pursue them till they perish from off of the face of the earth. And you're one with him, and you should draw your sword and go after the wicked. As Brother Brownham said, load the double barrel and go after the wolf. And let's sing together. Let's walk together. Let our conversation be in heaven. Our desire be in heaven. All of our vision be toward God. And let's redeem back as to take out of the hands of Satan that which belongs to the children of God and belongs to God. He gave it unto us, and we took his joy away by giving unto Lucifer through the weakness of the flesh as to Adam. Some still repeating the old problem of today. But let's take it out of the hands of the devil by faith, and that we have all power over the powers of the enemy. Let's conquer death for God. And that we have power over death. Let's bring the dead out of the grave. Let's restore all of the lost species as to the gullible attacking of the sports crazy people that kill and destroy the earth. The Bible said, I will destroy them that destroy the earth. Them that concocting all these things through science, knowledge falsely so called, never knowing the real truth or real knowledge of life. Let's get rid of those people. Let's pull them down from those places. They've climbed up into the high places. The old serpent has climbed up into the upper lintel, which means he's in control, standing between us and God. Has that middle wall of partition, which is that old intellectual indoctrination of his gullible understanding, loving the things of the world. Let's get rid of it. The way we can get rid of it is let the flesh die, for the flesh saveth the things that be of the world, because it moved with the spontaneous means of Satan. But now we're free from the body of death, and we're now the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, members in particular, through the foreknowledge of God, and as to what God sees us to be at the end in Thessalonians change, that is to say the coming of the Lord Jesus, the last trump and the finishing of the mysteries that will change us. All right, let's stand together. Appreciate you coming out to be with us. God is love, And all that is born of God they love, for all that love is born of God. And God is peace, and all the peacemakers is of God. So let us pursue the path, the peace, and the Bible said, he that keepeth his mind stayed upon Christ Jesus shall have perfect peace. For all that are born of God will make peace, and all that are born of God will walk within the wonderful paths of peace. Somebody says, I'm trouble, I've got problems, Satan's beating my brains out. Wouldn't be if you didn't have eyes of lust. Wouldn't be if you didn't have a heart of evil. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. If you think holy and godly and pure, then would you be holy and godly and pure? But if you think lustful and covetous and resentful and surmising, jealousy, fault-finding, always putting your brother down in your mind, then are you a worm? And the worm is the serpent, and he's on his belly. All right, let's sing a little chorus together, can we? So, is there any fruit of the Spirit? If not, cut it down. Why cumbereth it the earth? Let's walk together. Let's love one another. Let's be brothers and sisters that love one another, that will share with one another. Can we sing this little chorus? Because Jesus first loved me, and he purchased my salvation on promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And I'm trusting in the word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. For every promise in the book, it is thine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And I'm trusting in the word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Can we sing another chorus together? If my mother don't go, won't hinder me. If my father don't go, won't hinder me. If my brother don't go, won't hinder me. I'm on my way, praise the Lord. I'm on my way. Can you sing that with me? I'm on my way to Canaan's land. I'm on my way to Canaan's land. I'm on my way to Canaan's land. I'm on my way, praise the Lord, on my way. Are you on your way to Canaan? We're going to sing this little chorus, and then the altars are open while we sing. There's room down at the cross for you. Oh, there's room down at the cross for you. Although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. For at the cross where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. Gone, and the stone is rolled back, gone, and the tomb is empty, gone, to sit at my Father's side. Can you sing that with me? For he's gone, oh, the death triumphant, gone, sin is defeated, gone, and he lives forevermore. Let's lift our hands up together. Jesus, sweet Jesus, what a wonder you are. Can you sing that with me with your hands lifted up? Oh, Jesus, sweet Jesus, what a wonder you are. You are brighter than the morning star. You are fairer than the lily that blooms by the way, and you're more precious than gold. Sing it again with me now. So, Jesus, sweet Jesus, what a wonder you are. You are brighter than the morning star. You are fairer than the lily that blooms by the way, and you're more precious than gold. One more time together. Oh, my Savior, what a wonder you are. You are brighter than morning star. You're much fairer than the lily that blooms by the way, and you're more precious than gold. Lift your hands, close your eyes. Ask Brother Snyder if he'll come. When he comes, we want to pray with you. Prayer means a lot. Effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Don't forget the services tonight to come back. Maybe some of you would like to rest a little bit. But don't forget the services tonight. You might be the inspirational means of somebody coming to God. So then you come to service tonight. And, of course, Brother Taylor will be back with us, praising the Lord with you. But take the word of God. The songwriter said, take it then wherever you go. Take it with you. It's words of life. It's words of inspiration. build on the foundation of the rock as your confidence. I teach my children to believe in the word, that when trials and problems and persecutions arise, and they cannot find a way as to a means or an answer in this world, then they follow Christ. They're not looking to diplomacies of life. Diplomacies of life are good, they're fine, they're wonderful, if they're taught in harmony with the Lord, that you reason together with the Lord, and your education, as you say, is that stems from the Word of God, going back to the true history, and that there's none that's true but this history, and even the world hinges upon it, and that they cannot go back any farther than Egypt. So then take this wonderful word with you in the Bible, so all them that are born of God have a good understanding. You'll have a good understanding. The world will be afraid of you, even as when they could not withstand the wisdom by which Stephen speaks, when his face shined as that of an angel. God will illuminate you, and wisdom will make your face to shine and give you super strength, perseverance, and you'll win the battle. And your spirit won't break, neither will you shrink away, but you'll be strong and powerful to stand right in the presence of them that attack to you and tell them this wonderful word of wisdom. Don't fill your minds with the evils of this world, to the non-virtuous things of this world that steal your life and corrupt your body, your mind and soul. As our brother comes to pray with you, may the Lord bless you this morning. Remember me in prayer. Be careful, watch and pray. Always be watching, always be praying, so the Lord can protect you, because the Bible said, thine adversary the devil goeth about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, whom ye should resist, steadfast and unmovable in the faith, always abounding within the faith of Christ, never casting away thy faith. For the Bible said, taking the shield of faith, that you might be able to quench all the fire darts of the wicked. Never casting away your faith, the Bible said, which hath great recompense of reward. All right, Brother Snyder.